You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome back, everyone, to Vox Markets. My name is Paul Hill, and I'm delighted again to be able to speak to CEO Jonathan Hunter and CFO Neil Pritchard of Alico, a specialist build tech software developer for all things project management, visualization, and the maintenance of property assets. So big welcome, gents.
Morning.
Thanks, Paul.
Yeah, well, big congrats on today's strong and in-line first half with results, with sales increasing 13% to 18.4 million pounds, despite the sort of tough macro backdrop. So maybe we can start there, Jonathan. I don't suppose you could just quickly take us through what's been sort of driving the growth, plus what you're currently seeing at the coalface in terms of demand.
Yeah, thank you. The built environment is going through digital transformation, and that's been accelerated by the use of AI. So, you know, we believe Alico is well positioned to further, you know, seize on these opportunities. We've seen demand in project management and also maintenance management, so that continues. But as we see, yeah, the challenges you refer to in the market, that often impacts our service line, and it's the customer's sort of investment in their people pauses during those sorts of periods. And we've seen that in the results. Nonetheless, we've been really focused on what we call our ARE strategy. So it's to attain, retain, and expand our customer base, and, you know, really leveraging not only the talent we have, but our technological capabilities and our strong customer relationships to be able to offer more to customers. So through those initiatives, you know, it's not only around services, but, you know, focusing on attaining new customers and retaining and expanding within the existing customer base, offering more value to those customers. Yeah.
And has there been any difference geographically between the sort of demand profile at all? Because obviously, you know, you're born and bred out of Europe and the UK, but expanding overseas, the US and Asia and stuff like that. Is there any difference between those particular regions?
With our growth and, you know, our initiatives, we sort of start in the UK principally and then roll those out internationally. So we have seen larger, I guess, returns in the UK, large growth. Mm. There's a huge amount of opportunity for expansion within the current customer base. So we're very well positioned in the UK. Scandinavia has been more positive, despite, you know, we're still seeing clients churning through, going into administration, smaller businesses. But also many new customers coming on board. So that's been more positive. The US has been progressing well as well. I refer to some service revenues, one-off service revenues we received in the first half of last year, which weren't repeated this year. Mm-hmm. However, the recurring revenue has increased 25% in the US. So that's been positive. And of course, going up against, you know, very, very large, well-known incumbent that's in the US. Germany has been, primarily in the service and visualization side, has been quite challenging due to budget constraints within our customers' base. However, we see some positivity in the future as those interior manufacturing businesses are turning to more online methods of reaching out to their customers rather than going through wholesalers. So that's what we provide, is the digital solutions to sell interior products. So we see that there's some upside for the future, but for now we're a bit cautious on the visualization service line. The recurring element of those revenues continue and hold up. So that's pleasing to see.
Yeah. And then further out, is it likely that the company may benefit at all from the big infrastructure spend in Germany? Because I think they've talked about €500 billion spend on infrastructure and stuff like that. And I'm just wondering, obviously, whether that would help on the property design and maintenance, and whether, you know, it might be an uplift later on in 2026, 2027.
Yes, yeah, it will take a bit of time to come through, but yeah, certainly encouraging prospects. We're also seeing more interest in a solution, our platform for planning, Aster Vision, in Germany. So yeah, definitely something of interest in that market.
Good. Okay, brilliant. Well, if we now turn to the financial highlights, Neil, I suppose you could just take through the sort of the top line, the profitability and the cash generation.
Yeah, sure. Happy to. Thanks, Paul. We're very pleased to basically be reporting, you know, another half of really first half of 25 or a calendar year end, continued growth, enhanced profitability, more operational gearing, and yeah, strong cash flows once again, operating wise, and, you know, record recurring revenues and level of record recurring revenues as well. So the exit rate that we saw for at the end of June was around about 19% growth, just based on that number, and actually sort of organically about 12. The overall recurring revenues across the whole 6 month period, though, they were up 23% at 14.8 million, and organically about 16% as well. Another double digit there. So overall, and in part because, just to flag in full transparency, you know, some of lower on the services side as well, but actually almost a disproportionately high level now of 81% recurring revenues, and that compares to 74% in the previous half. So very, very high recurring revenues, which, you know, is obviously it's a great business model to have in these uncertain times.
Just to make sure I understand it, did you say 12% organic growth on the ARR, which is the recurring software side? And that would be stripping out the acquisition and stripping out services.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And actually, our net retention as well, revenue retention was up to 110% against 108 as well. So some really sort of really some good figures there, some great performing parts of those businesses outside of services. Perpetual was down a little bit as well, but in a sense that's a good thing, because that shows the virtue of moving towards that recurring level, albeit lower immediate revenue recognition through that. Overall profitability, as I mentioned earlier, was very much enhanced. High EBITDA margins, 23%. So adjusted EBITDA on the adjusted level, it's around about 29-30% operating level EBITDA profit before tax. On statutory level, between 25-29% for EBITDA, PBT profit after tax as well, earnings per share. So a little bit higher as well, with a slightly improved tax charge. So really some strong profitability, higher percentage growth over the revenue growth, if you see what I mean, in terms of that. So the operational gearing. Investing in R&D, about 17% of turnover. That's very consistent with prior periods. And cash flows themselves, they were against another strong performance in the first half, around about 3.4 million. That's about well over 100% of operating profit, essentially. And of course, the group remains free of debt. deferred income, which is a sign of the future, if you like, in the balance sheet. That's ahead by 32%. But if you strip out the PMAC acquisition, it's still ahead by 24%, sort of as a snapshot of the future, if you like. Overall cash, higher than the previous half, obviously lower than the year end. Had we not made the PMAC acquisition, which was about 5.6 with related costs, in terms of the upfront consideration and the related costs, then we would have been 27% ahead on cash of the year end, and you know, whacking 48% up on the previous half as well. So yeah, all very good, and consequently the board has proposed an interim dividend to be paid, and that's up 17% as well.
Yeah, that's amazing given it's a tough macro backdrop. What will you do when it's actually get a few tailwinds? Okay, Jonathan,
right,
if we could we move, give us an update on the PMAC acquisition plus sort of like new project or new products coming through the pipeline.
Yeah, the acquisition has been excellent, and so has the integration. Actually, the team have come together really well, and that's taken good shape. Some of the things to mention on the integration: we have a new office in Dublin, so we moved offices. We're currently moving to a improved office in Cork. There's been updates to the infrastructure and security within the PMAC software, so that's going to ensure long-term product integrity, but also really good place in terms of the Cyber Resilience Act, which comes into force in a couple of years. So that upgrade included moving the entire code base to Python 3, which we did within the period, so it's a fantastic effort, really. Hadn't been updated for a few years, so that was good. So there's a major release of or major UX UI updates and dashboard enhancements, as well as a new interface to integrate with ERP systems. So quite a lot going on the tech side for PMAC. The teams also came together and exhibited at MainTech as one Shire PMAC team, and the collaboration continues. There's been some some customer wins and expansions that have been happening in the period. So really progressing really well, and the people, product, everything is really really good, better than we'd expected, actually. So we're really pleased with that acquisition. In terms of other releases, we've had major releases of our core products. So Asta Power Project released 2026, so the latest version there. Shire Systems with document management and other dashboard reporting. And also a major release of PM3, which now includes Gantt chart with improved integration as well into ERP and so forth. I think coming up in the next period, we're really excited about the releases that are currently in development. There's going to be further enhancements to, in fact, a major enhancement to our 4D solution. So Asta time scheduling with 3D graphics. So there's a major release there, as well as APIs. So connecting with other solutions and other tools like Site Progress, linking that back into the master plan. So those features we're really looking forward to, and we're looking forward to reporting on those in the future as well.
Yeah, and just on the sort of like the customer response to the sort of like the upselling and the cross-selling between PMAC and Shire, that seems to be going well. Is there also sort of like potential opportunities of cross-selling with Asta and PMAC and Shire into the same customer base?
The PMAC within the same customer base, as you say, the cross-selling has been working well. We've had a sort of revamp and focus on our value proposition as well. So we're now taking every customer through a journey of sort of reactive maintenance through six stages to being predictive and having AI, and we can offer all, but every customer is on a different stage of maturity. So that's a great initiative. There are some opportunities for cross-selling PM3 as well as Aster, those are, I guess, less frequent as opposed to sort of the initiatives we're seeing with the Shire PMAC and also the go-to-market improvements that we're implementing.
Yeah. In the announcement, you mentioned there was a large UK supermarket which had been just taken. Is that the asset management part they've bought?
Yeah, that's the Icon system, so property portfolio management. We've actually brought on three new customers in the period, onboarding them into the Icon system, which stores all of the property fit-out information. One of the large grocers, but also two significant fashion retailers, one that's nationally and building across the world. So we're supporting them with the cost and also the specifications and the branding and everything that goes into a new store, as well as upgrading existing stores. So quite excited about that. We hope to be able to mention their name as they progress as well. So they haven't given us permission to mention their name, but one of the few that are expanding, let's put it that way.
Yeah. Well, I remember many moons ago, probably about over 10 years, and I think you were the strategy director, and you championed the Icon acquisition. You bought it for a very, very reasonable price. So a big tip to the hat for that one. Okay, let's move to the second half and outlook, Neil. Any quick words on how the business is positioned in terms of hitting its guidance and really just anything broader you could say about 2026? Because we're not that far off from the year end.
Yeah. I mean, I think obviously we have touched on some of the markets are challenging, and that has had an impact on the discretionary spend around the services. But we do have a number of initiatives that are underway to make sure that we can sort of address and mitigate some of those service revenues from that. I guess without sort of again stating the obvious, but importantly so, I think the high recurring revenue business model that we've now migrated to, and indeed customer-centric initiatives as well, I think it does give us that better visibility and predictability and also resilience, I think, in these markets. So we feel we can continue to execute and deliver on that strategy. So, looking ahead, we remain confident that we can deliver results that are in line with the market expectations for this year. It's a little bit tricky on the services stuff for 26, yeah. But I think, because of that model, I think we're also looking at what can then come through for the rest of the year. But, we've got some new products, as Jonathan mentioned. We've got many new initiatives, many new go-to-market. So we continue to believe that we'll be on the up and seize market share.
And you've also got sort of like 12 million of cash for any bolt-on deals, haven't you? You seem to be pretty good at those.
Yeah. I mean, look, we continue to see a lot of potential opportunities. I would say that we're probably turning more away than we would have done in the past, because I think for us we've got higher thresholds to meet, obviously importantly for our strategy and our shareholders. But there's definitely more out there in some senses, and we continue to also look at the inorganic as well as the organic.
Yeah, okay, brilliant. Okay, then Jonathan, just closing, is there any sort of final comments or remarks for investors in the road ahead for Alico?
I think we're in line with our long-term strategy. We've developed and we're maintaining this resilient business platform that allows us to grow. So we've developed a well-governed, profitable, cash generative business. And with that allows us to be innovative. It allows us to focus on our ARE strategy, so attain, retain and expand, and everything that goes into not just the sales and go-to-market, but the technology and product that we need to do to attain, retain and expand. So that's I think the people we have are really industry experts and experts in their discipline, which is really given us real step as well. We've been attracting a lot of talented folks into the business. That's really exciting. And the M&A execution has been really well on that side of our strategy. The focus is on, and there is a lot of focus on us assessing targets. So we're not just jumping at anything that looks interesting. We're getting under the skin of targets. And we're, as Neil says, we're turning quite a lot of way, and there's quite a lot that's showing an interest in being taken over. So that there's a bit of work there, but we absolutely want to continue to nurture that resilient business model and business platform to grow into the future. So confident with the outlook, confident with the future.
Brilliant. Okay, that's a really positive way to finish. And I'll just highlight to investors that ARR growth, organic 12%, is slightly higher than the market. And the big players in the market out in the States and in Europe trade at roughly 8 to 10 times sales, whereas Alico currently is on around about 3.2 times sales. So there's significant valuation upside there potentially going forward. So anyway, big congrats again, guys, and look forward in touching base over the next few months.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Paul.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.